Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we get to that, gentlemen, something even more important than a Game 7. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I speak for Perk here, and I know Stephen A., to all the service men and women, past and present, for the ultimate sacrifice, fighting for our freedom. Absolutely. You are the true heroes, and we cannot thank you enough on this Memorial Day and every day. We are forever grateful. Good morning, gentlemen. Perk, SA, how we doing? How we feeling? How we living? We had a Game 7. I know Perk's hype right now, and they got your shot right, finally. You look like Perk.
Hey, Molly, you already know I'm going back to the Bean Town.
Yes,
and Stephen
A.,
if you want to go to the beach, 45 minutes or an hour out, you can always go to Martha's Vineyard. It's right out there. It's a beautiful place.
Listen. I'll be
there. Yeah, you
know that. I'm in. Hey, I don't know if you know. I an island man, you know. I'm from the West Indies, you know. So the water in Martha's Vineyard, the water in Martha's Vineyard is not comparable to the waters in the islands. But I must tell you, all over the country, for some reasons, flights are being canceled. Mm. I have very, very bad news for people. I'll get to San Fran eventually, but I might be stuck in South Beach for a couple of days.
Right.
I mean, I hope not.
You know
but
what, Stephen A.,
I might be stuck. I'll try to survive and make the most of it if I end up being stuck here. I just want to say that.
What's wrong? You didn't want to spend a little lettuce and gas up the PJ?
No. What? I don't know what that means. I mean, you got to be frugal.
Okay, I don't know what it means. All I know is this. Forget him. Pops, my dad, very happy. My Uncle Richie, the family, and a group text. They're all real excited about Boston. They're nervous, but they're excited. So some of us are happy here. Let's go. It was a wild one. As the Boston Celtics, who might have taken the most difficult path, but the C's are on their way to the finals. For the first time in nearly 12 years, Jason Tatum, MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals, winning the first ever Larry Bird Trophy. So fitting. Congratulations to him. Boston is elated. Here's Marcus Smart, who played through the pain.
Oh, man, just finally, you know, to be able to get over that hump and have a chance to, you know, make it to the NBA Finals. You know, this is every athlete's dream, is to get to that final stage and have an opportunity.
It's the biggest game of the season of my career. And I just had faith that we were going to give it all we had, regardless of the outcome.
So we've been responding all year, all season, to adversity. Today was the biggest test, not just, you know, of the year, but, you know, of our careers, to mentally come into a Game 7 away after losing on our home court, which was tough, and we got it done.
Big Perk, you know what? These Boston Celtics really like to put us on a roller coaster ride. So you tell me this. I know they got the J-O-B done, but a girl was scared. Do you feel better or worse about Boston after that series?
Oh, I feel better. I feel better because, Molly, it goes back to what I've been preaching all along about how stellar and how great they are defensively. See, look, when those shots are not falling and you're not being able to see those driving gaps to the basket, guess what? You got to hang your hats on the defensive end and get stops. And again, in the Game 7 last night, the Miami Heat shot 42% from the field, 20% from the three. They had 96 points. And look, that's what you want to hang your hat on, not letting the team score over 100 points. We saw Al Horford get down, buckle his feet down, and kind of force Jimmy Butler to pull a three-point shot late into the game. Well, some may have questions. I don't. But at the end of the day, he made a great contest. He got the rebound. Look at the way that they scramble. People keep wanting to praise and talk about the offense and things of that nature. I look at the Boston Celtics, and I'm going to keep harping on this. One of the best defensive teams I've seen in NBA history, period.
I'm not going to throw any shade on the Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics. I think that
They've got a phenomenal team. They've got an elite defense. They're a legit threat to win it all. There is no question about that. But speaking in the immediate aftermath, Kendrick Perkins, of what transpired in Game 7 last night, I don't feel better about them. I feel worse because of their decision-making as the game waned. They had a 13-point lead with a little over 3.5 minutes left and nearly blew it. Miami goes on an 11-0 run. Jimmy Butler, we'll talk about that decision because I didn't have a problem with it. We'll get into that later, okay? He could have easily tied the game instead of going for the three to try and win it, which I don't blame him. And again, we'll talk about later. But it's the decision-making that I'm paying attention to. It's Marcus Smart jacking up two ill-advised threes, okay? It's them not finding Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum to get the ball, to shoot the ball in the last 5 minutes. It's some of the turnovers that took place as well. Because it's not just about what you do. I'm imagining what would happen if you do it against certain competition. You do that against the Golden State Warriors, it's going to kill you. It's going to take you out of here. Because those are some sharp shooters. I mean, these brothers can really shoot some jump shots, okay? We know what they bring to the table. And so what I'm saying is that, again, Boston is a legit threat. They're incredibly formidable. Their defense is not good. It's not great. It's elite. They are on that level. But when it gets tight, there's a reason that coming into the Game 7, even though I picked them to win Game 7, and they ended up winning this series in 7 games, all right? The bottom line is there's a reason they were ranked 29th out of 30 teams in close situations as the game wanes in the last few minutes. There's a reason why people looked at them and they said there's some trepidation about the Boston Celtics in close games. When they beat you, they usually run away with it. In close game situations, it's a different animal because they don't have a true legitimate point guard. They got athletes, they got players, they got rough riders, they got a lot of guys with a lot of heart, they ain't scared, they got ability. But that true floor general is something that they're lacking. And I think moments like last night displayed that.
No, I disagree with you. When I look at this team, this was nothing but a test. Did we honestly believe that the Miami Heat was going to go down without swinging? The head coach and Eric Spoelstra was going to rally his troops to go out there and compete? Stephen A., you have to realize this. The Miami Heat defense wasn't no slouch. We're talking about Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and P.J. Tucker. Those four guys in itself are in the elite class for us defensively. And then you talk about a game plan with Eric Spoelstra. I go back and not revisit Game 6 when a lot of people were criticizing Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter for not getting up shot attempts. But what people wasn't saying was how Eric Spoelstra was sending double teams at Jason Tatum, how he was sending double teams at Jaylen Brown to force others to meet him. And then on another note, Stephen A., when Marcus Smart is at the point guard position, the Celtic offense is so much better. He has been one of the best facilitators in the game today when he is playing his role. I look at some of the shots he had to take in the late game last night when it was late game situation with the shot clock running down. They were denying Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown the ball. He had no choice but to be the other playmaker. They were hugging White or Grant Williams. They wasn't letting them see any daylight. Big Al Horford had his hands full. You need Marcus Smart to be aggressive. Let me remind you about this. Remember how spectacular Marcus Smart was in Game 2? Do you remember Game 2 of this series when he came back and almost notched a triple-double?
That's irrelevant.
And those same threes that we saw. No, it is relevant because you actually needed that game to actually win the series.
No.
So what I'm telling
saying,
you.
What I'm saying is when I say it's irrelevant, what I'm saying is it's relevant if we're sitting here calling Marcus Smart some scrub that can't play. We know he can ball, and we know that he's had a multitude of moments where he's put on display that he could ball. But there are also times where his decision-making in late-game situations are highly questionable, and last night was one of those times. It wasn't just about them getting doubled. It wasn't just about them getting blitzed. Sometimes they didn't milk the clock. Sometimes they rushed it. You had a 13-point lead with 3.5 minutes left. Time is on your side. There were times they were walking the ball up the court. There were other times where they were running up the court and just jacking up shots. And you're looking at them and saying, what are you doing? Time is on your side. Milk the clock. Soak it. Do what you have to do. We know that Miami's defense is elite. We get all of that. But a 13-point lead with 3.5 minutes left is a 13-point lead with 3.5 minutes left. You went against them six previous games. You were 3-3. You went against them for the most part until the last 3.5 minutes of the game, and then you almost lost it. So I'm just saying that I walked away looking at the Boston Celtics, clearly respecting them, understanding they lived up to my expectations, that they won the conference. We get all of that. But in the end, some of those late game decisions, I'm saying against Golden State, that ain't going to cut the mustard. That's all I'm saying.
And all I'm saying to you, Stephen A., is play the game to win, not to lose. Don't get conservative. Don't sit up here and try to milk the clock. Continue to play through and how you've been playing. The Boston Celtics got the 13-point lead because yep, I understand that, but they got the lead, Stephen A., by the pace of their offense. That's how they got the lead. They were pushing the pace. They were wasn't letting the Miami Heat defense get set. You have to play through that. I done seen numerous of times. Hell, I done been a part of a team where the Clippers had a 7 or 8 point lead on us when we was in Oklahoma City, and they were up by 7 or 8 points with a minute and a half, and we walked it down. A 13-point lead ain't nothing. That ain't comfort. You got to continue to just keep playing, and you live and die with what got you there. And that's what the Celtics do. Now, look,
well, the way you're talking is like it's 48 minutes in a game. It's 46 minutes that have passed by. And if you got a 10-point lead, keep running the ball up the court. Come on, man. Don't act like you don't make adjustments according to the position that you're in and the comfort that you have with a particular lead. You do make those decisions.
Okay, well, Stephen A., let's not act like the Warriors are just great at with handling the ball.
I didn't say
they're
that, but
careless
we're talking
with the
about the Boston
well.
Celtics.
All I'm telling you is this. Play your game. Play your game. At the end of the day, is to go out there and get a win.
Right.
And again, me and you come on here,
let's carry on.
We're talking about offense. We're talking about offense. I see you in person, and I keep telling you, defense win championships.
Okay, we get
offense.
It. We get it. All right,
we're about
let's leave
to find
it there.
Out.
Okay. These
let's
Celtics, by the way, gentlemen, are the only team with a winning record against the Warriors since Steve Kerr took over. But I want to focus on Miami and Jimmy Butler because he was brilliant. 35 points, 9 rebounds, playing all 48 minutes, but decided to go for three rather than drive at Al Horford with under 20 seconds left in the fourth. Should Butler have tried to drive past Al Horford? Here's Jimmy on that missed moment.
My thought process was go for the win, which I did. Missed a shot, but I'm taking that shot. My teammates liked the shot that I took, so I'm living with it.
I thought it would have been an incredible storyline, you know, Jimmy to pull up and hit that three, and I thought it was, I love that about Jimmy. That was the right look, and I just thought, as it was leaving his hand, I thought for sure that was going down.
When he shot that, I was like, man, what the hell? But he missed. We get the rebound. We move on.
All right, SA, it's not always going to fall your way. Do you have any issue with Jimmy going for it and taking that shot?
Zero. You can look at the numbers and point out that in the postseason, during the playoffs, he was 10 of 26, 38% in pull-up threes. You can point to things like that, even though he ended up shooting 29% from three-point range for this series. I take into account a few things. Number one, he had been making shots throughout the last two games or so. Remember, he went through a three-game stretch when he was only averaging 9 points after averaging 35 in the first two games of this series. And then the last three, he really, really turned it on, particularly the last two, where he ended up scoring 82 points in two games. But this is the part that I think everybody is missing. Jimmy Butler is aware Kyle Lowry ain't healthy. Max Strus isn't 100% healthy. Tyler Hero was out there trying to give you what he could, even though he wasn't healthy with his groin injury, okay? You had so many guys depleted by injuries. You're down two. You came back with an 11-0 run to pull within two. Jimmy Butler didn't want overtime because Jimmy Butler ain't healthy either. This guy was pushing and pushing and pushing, and he knew that he didn't have but so much left. So what did he do? He made a decision, recognizing himself and the rest of the team and the precarious situation that they were in due to their debilitating health. And he said, I got a chance to win this right here. okay? If I pull up and I make this three, then what do we, where are we? We're up one with about 15, you know, I forgot whether it's 15 or 11 seconds left. We're up one, and then guess what? We make a stop, and we win the Eastern Conference, and we head on to the finals, and I get a full 5 days rest before it's time to go, or a little 4 days rest, rather, before it's time to go up against the Golden State Warriors. That's the decision that he made. I think people are looking at the play. They're not looking at his injuries. They're not looking at how hurt he was. They're not looking at how hurt the other guys were. And him recognizing the chances of us winning in overtime was slim to none because of how debilitated we are. That's the decision that he made, and I had no problem with it because it was an open three, and it was something that he had done throughout the series.
Oh, please. Would you stop? Did you go to live last night? Did you go to live last night?
No, I don't party. I don't party before I have to work the next morning.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying. Because for the simple fact, the blasphemy. I don't want to hear nothing about health at the moment. Once you get in between those lines, ain't nobody thinking about health. This is what I'm thinking about. Jimmy Butler, I have zero. I don't have a problem with the shot Jimmy Butler decided to take. But here's my reason why. The Boston Celtics had the Miami Heat half-court offense looking so bad that I made my children close their eyes every time the Heat came down on offense last night because I didn't want them picking up bad habits. That's how bad they offense looked. And so what Jimmy Butler was thinking was, I didn't play 48 minutes. I cannot rely on nobody else on this team to help me get through overtime. I do not want to continue to go head-to-head with a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown by myself. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for the dagger. And then on another note, guys in the summer, they work on this shot all day long. The walk-up three-point shot. We see Kevin Durant do it so many times. That's the walk-up three, the dagger, whatever. We watch guys like Damian Lillard do this shot on a day-to-day basis in the regular season or in the postseason. It was a great look to anybody who criticizing Nate tripping. Al Horford, great job by him getting great position and kind of baiting him into taking that shot. But at the end of the day, he went for the shot. It was a great look. He didn't make it, and that's why I think he did it, was because they half-court offense not only struggled in that game, but they half-court offense struggled and looked horrible throughout the entire series.
Well, first of all, that's not true. They haven't looked horrible throughout the entire series. They won three games in this series, okay? There were times they looked horrible. There were times they didn't look horrible. That's number one. Number two, even though you're absolutely right about their half-court offense looking absolutely horrible last night, what was one of the reasons for that? I happen to think it was their health. I mean, one of the things that we talked about was how they looked like they could barely walk, for crying out loud, over the last two games at how horrible their health situation was. We were wondering what kind of shots. I mean, you got NBA players tweeting all over social media about their medical staff and what the hell they doing because of how they had these brothers ready. Just like Boston had Marcus Smart ready when it looked like his ankle was broke and he was going to be out for the rest of the playoffs and stuff like that. And then he comes back minutes later or what have you. You do look at situations and you look at, it's not that it's an excuse or anything like that. It's just that you might not have it. And you pushing and you pushing and you pushing. But there's so much that you can do. And particularly when Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and all of these boys are coming at you with that elite, tenacious defense that Boston has. Again, I'm not saying that injuries were the sole reason. I'm saying it played a role. If I'm Jimmy Butler, you're thinking about, okay, what's our best chance of winning at this particular moment in time? And that's why you go for that three. Let's get them up out of here. Let's not think about it. We've seen docuseries and stuff like that where you've had players talking about, listen, I'm looking around, I'm looking at our situation, and I'm saying we don't want to go to overtime because if we go to overtime, we probably ain't going to win this game. Those kind of decisions, it's not like that's foreign to you, Kendrick Perkins. You know good and damn well there are players that make those judicious decisions from time to time in a playoff game. You know that.
Yeah, I know that when you coming out of a timeout, I don't know that when you pushing the ball up in transition that you sitting up and thinking about pulling up a three-point shot because of the health of your team. You may be thinking of that.
You're aware of your cognizant of everything.
But you may, No, you're not. Not at that moment when you in between those lines. Yeah, when you coming out of a timeout, that may run through your head when you have a time to sit down.
So you need a break.
So you need a break to think about it, but you can't do it in real time. No, we make decisions in real time all the time. I will not allow you to sit up here and educate the audience and say that Jimmy Butler was pushing the ball in transition thinking about the Miami Heat.
Well, first of all, you don't know whether it's a miseducation or not because you ain't Jimmy Butler.
I was a player, and I know that in that short stint of time, it's no way that you're pushing the ball thinking about the health of your team, and that's why he pulled up for the shot.
I'm going to repeat myself again. You are aware and cognizant of what your team situation is and what gives you a better chance to win. I believe that the Miami Heat knew their chances were slimmer to go into overtime against this Boston Celtics team. We got an opportunity to take them out right now. Let's take them out right now. That played a role in going for the three-point shot. So my point is, that's a real-time decision. Any player would tell you that.
And I agree with that. I'm saying, but it's not because he was thinking about their health. He was thinking about how much they were struggling offensively in the half-court set.
Well, why were they struggling so much in a half-court game?
Because they're playing against the best defensive team in the postseason.
So that's the only reason. So that's the only reason.
That's why.
You mean the team that you had losing to Milwaukee? You mean the team that you sat up there on national television and said Giannis is taking them home? You mean that team? I mean, that's cool.
We all change our opinions based on facts.
No, I'm not talking about changing the opinion. I'm not talking about changing the opinion. I'm talking about you declaring that Boston was going home. You got to play the Montage game. Here you go. I said, I repeat. This is a lot.
Let's take it down a notch. Go ahead.
No, it's supposed to be a lot, Molly.
It's a lot. It's Memorial Day.
It's supposed to be a lot, Molly. It actually is supposed to be a lot.
But okay, it's a lot for my ears still.
Kendrick Perkins, I'll tell you what. Let's appease Molly. Kendrick Perkins,
I respectfully disagree.
You understand that the Miami, you know, this is what I thought Jimmy Butler was doing. Okay, that's the way it needs to go, Kendrick Perkins. Let's take the tone down. Let's smile a little bit more.
Wait, Perk, I have a note for you. Speak in very mellow voice so we can please Molly.
Okay.
No, Perk, this is for you because you're all about defense. You love defense. This is the first finals to have the two top teams in defensive efficiency since the Bulls and Supersonics. That's way back in the 90s when you and I were in elementary school and Stephen A. was probably creeping around Hollis. So that'll be exciting to see that defensive matchup.
If I was creeping,
you know you were. You were around the way. You know you were. Don't lie. Oh my gosh. All right. I got another subject I want to get to here, gentlemen. So Jimmy Butler, obviously, as we just discussed, had a historic performance when it mattered the most in Game 6 and 7. His 82 points were tied for the second most combined all-time in a Game 6 and 7. Iverson and LeBron's performances helped their teams reach the finals while Wilkins Hawks fell short. You can see it all right there. Perk, do you think Jimmy deserved consideration for conference finals MVP? Obviously, we know Tatum won it.
I do. And one could make a case that he actually was the best player in this series, to be honest with you. When you look at what he did and how he did it, you look at his game one performance along with the game six and game seven, walking into the Garden in game six, that performance alone deserves a hell of a nod. Like, that was a classic performance. When you enter the conversation with LeBron James as far as wearing a Miami Heat jersey and going in there and giving them people a 47-piece wing dinner, all flats, fried hard, that deserves a nod. When you enter the conversation of being the only player with Michael Jordan to have 40-plus points and four steals, that deserves a nod. Look, Jimmy Butler have shown us time and time again that when it comes down to the postseason, put his name in a conversation with the best. And he actually deserved to be in the consideration for the Finals MVP. I know Stephen A. is going to say, no, give it to the winner. But I stand here today and say, one can make the case that Jimmy Butler still was the best player in this series.
So what do I need to call you now, Kendrick Perkins, Mad Dog Perkins? Because I love how Mad Dog Russo always tries to tell the audience what I'm going to say before I say it. Why can't y'all just let me say it? Why can't y'all just let me say it? I mean, why you got to try to be throw a preemptive strike by telling the audience what I'm going to say? Can I not speak for myself? Oh, by the way, I apologize.
Well, I learned from you.
My apologies, Kendrick Perkins. I may have been a little bit too loud when I said that.
Would you bring stop?
Let me dial it down.
I couldn't hear what either you were saying. I wanted to hear those.
I just want to dial it down. Right now, Molly's talking louder than either one of us, Kendrick Perkins. I just want you to notice that. She's talking louder than either one of us. But anyway, what I wanted to say is this.
Shady.
Kendrick Perkins, I respectfully disagree with you. I know that Jerry West was named NBA Finals MVP in 1969, even though they had lost to the Boston Celtics, the only player to receive an NBA Finals MVP award at that time. I mean, the only player that I recall even winning an MVP of anything in a loss, to be honest with you. That's just my recollection. I could be wrong about that. But here's the deal. Think about what you're saying. And I'm going to make sure I let you end this segment instead of me, because I want you to think about what you just said. So a champion for the Boston Celtics in 2008 is on national television saying that even though the Boston Celtics just won the conference finals and the trophy is named after a Boston Celtic in the great Larry Bird, that should just be ignored. And somebody like Jimmy Butler, who was clearly phenomenal, warrants that level of consideration, that if they had stripped Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or a Boston Celtic from winning the inaugural Larry Bird Award for Eastern Conference Finals MVP, okay, that would be okay. No, it's not okay. The reality of the situation is this. The priority first is to win. It's not even to perform at an elite level. It's to win first. The first thing that comes into consideration is the W. The second thing that comes into play is your performance in contributing to that W. Only after those two categories are exhausted do you even consider the loser. Jimmy Butler was phenomenal. Jimmy Butler was the best player in five games of this series. No doubt, or four games rather. No doubt about it. Without question, that is the absolute truth. But they lost. And did he deserve no consideration when you lose? Zero. No consideration when you lose. The person that's runner-up doesn't get to hoist trophies. It's a very simple rule that I have. If you lose and you don't win it, you don't warrant consideration to hoist the trophy. You don't get to sit up there and have the trophy and to raise your arms and say, yay, yay, yay. No, you didn't win. No shade on Jimmy Butler whatsoever. He was great. But that's the way it should always be.
And let me tell you why I respectfully disagree with you. Matter of fact, I don't respectfully disagree with you. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. And let me explain to you why. One, I like how you tried to trick me in bringing up, you know, a 2008 champion and all this about the Boston Celtics, the Larry Bird Trophy. No, I'm going to tell you what's facts. I work as an analyst for ESPN. So my job is to give an unbiased opinion, no matter how much I feel about the Boston Celtics and my love that I got for the Boston Celtics and whether I won a title there or not. I didn't say that Jason Tatum shouldn't have won it. The question was, did Jimmy Butler deserve consideration? And I said yes. And again, okay, and no. And I'm going to tell you this. Here's another thing. I keep going back to the point and telling you that basketball is what, Stephen A.? Basketball is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. So as an individual like Jimmy Butler, you could be doing every single thing that you possibly could do, and the others around you could just not be stepping up. If Jimmy Butler would have not put on spectacular performances in this series, the Heat would have got swept. Okay, that's just period. So, what?
May I ask you a question? Kendrick Perkins?
Oh.
Just work with me for a second, and I promise you I'll give you the last word. Is this a best 4 out of 7 series? Yes or no?
No, it's
yes,
no.
Right? It's the best 4 out of 7.
Yeah.
The best 4 out of 7.
Yeah, it's the best 4 out of 7. Yes.
Those 3 games that Jimmy Butler scored a combined 27 points, averaging 9 points over a 3-game stretch in the Eastern Conference Finals as the number one option and the face of a franchise, we ignore that? You're
Stephen
talking
A.
about...
Stephen
A. I'm saying it all comes into play. He was sensational in games 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. Games 3, 4, and 5, not so much. That played a role, too. They lost 2 of those games.
Oh, okay, well, what about Jason Tatum? He wasn't just spectacular throughout the whole 7 games.
I totally agree. Oh. I totally agree. But he won. But he won.
I get that because he had Jason. I get it because Jason Tatum had more help. He had more help.
I did not say that Jason Tatum yeah, was the better player. Hold on. I did not say Jason Tatum is the better player
just
than Jimmy Butler in this series. I said that Jason Tatum won. And because he won and he was good enough, he won. You can't even consider the losing team for MVP.
It is the key word. It's a team. I'm talking, the trophy is given to the person based on their individual performance within the team.
It's time to go.
Oh.
Time to go. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Quick takes, let's get it. Stephen A., the Lakers have a new head man. Former NBA player and Milwaukee Bucks assistant Darvin Ham has agreed to a 4-year deal to become the new coach for the Los Angeles Lakers. Mr. Smith, do you like the hire?
I like it. I have my trepidation about it only from the standpoint that considering all the noise we heard about the Lakers organization and how they tend to interfere with coaches, a first-year coach, a first-time coach is something that worries me within the organization. But nevertheless, you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, this is the hire that they made. They gave him a 4-year deal. And I know that Darvin Ham don't take no mess from anybody. And so as a result of that and LeBron supporting him, I like it.
All right, we'll get into this much more later with Furkan and Amari. Now let's get to that other star-studded team out west, Steph Curry, in his 6 finals in 8 years. The man has 3 championships, 2 regular season MVPs, no finals MVPs. Everyone always talks about that. 2 scoring titles. Well, Steph was ranked 16th on the NBA's 75th anniversary team. That was in February by ESPN, while his old teammate, Kevin Durant, was ranked 12th. So you can see it all right there. Marinate on that for a moment. Curry is now the 8th player in NBA history to win multiple MVP awards and reach the finals at least 6 times. Stephen A., should a finals win move Curry past KD on the all-time list?
I have no problem with Steph Curry being moved past Kevin Durant on the all-time list if you're talking on resume, because his resume is better than Kevin Durant's. There is no denying that. But as an individual talent, even with Steph Curry being the greatest shooter God has ever created, as I said on Countdown, Kendrick Perkins, to Wilbon and Jalen Rose, who did not listen to me, this is Kevin Durant that we're talking about here. One of the most prolific scorers the game has ever, ever, ever seen. He is 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan. He is a career 38% shooter from three-point range, okay? And we know he hovers around 49-50% from the field. A career 27-point-per-game scorer. Universally recognized as one of the best players on the planet Earth, who's upped his level defensively, okay? When you look at it from that perspective, and the fact that he is a 2-time champion, and he is a 2-time NBA Finals MVP. By the way, he's a 2-time champion and a 2-time Finals MVP on the same team that Steph Curry was on, okay? And obviously, he had to go to Golden State to win that championship, so I can't forget that, because I called them out for that, because at the time, I thought it was the weakest move I'd ever seen by a superstar. I said it and I meant it. But I can't take away from the fact that despite that, his greatness is his greatness. We all know that as a player. And so when I look at it from that perspective as an individual talent, it is hard for me. Resume is no problem. Kevin Durant's resume does not compare to Steph Curry's. His decision-making about who his teammate should be, that's definitely in Steph Curry's favor. But as an individual solo talent, I can't put Steph Curry ahead of Kevin Durant. I can't do it.
Well, I can, and I did. On my list, I had Steph Curry number 12 above Kevin Durant. Matter of fact, I think I had him 11 knocking at the door of top 10. Let me tell you something about the greatest shooter that God has ever created. Not only is he the greatest shooter that God has ever created, Stephen A., I think we sit up here and don't give him enough credit for being one of the most skilled guys to ever touch the basketball. When you look at him, he has elite handle. I would put him right there in the same conversation, a tier right under Kyrie Irving. When you look at his finishing around the basket, his creativity, things to that nature, is right there with Kyrie Irving. And so when I look at Steph Curry, a two-time MVP, unanimous, I'm talking about blowing the votes out the water. When I look at a guy like that, a generational talent, who has changed the game of basketball forever. Who made it okay for guys like Trae Young to take over a Hawks franchise and come in and be the best version of himself at 6'2". But here's the thing. Let me throw something out there at you, Stephen A. When it comes down to guys winning multiple MVPs, multiple scoring titles, multiple championships, all under their resume, it's four guys in NBA history that names come to mind that's in the record book. Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain. Let me say something else to you. Steph Curry is the most efficient 20-point-per-game scorer in NBA history. That includes centers and all. The most efficient. And then you want to know something else that we just talk about his shooting? Let's talk about what he does inside the three-point line. Do you know over his career, Steph Curry has a higher field goal percentage than Karl Malone, who's a power forward, who did a lot of pick and popping, pick and rolling, dunks and paint touches. Do you know how hard that is? I'm not surprised at all.
You're talking to the wrong guy when you bring up Karl Malone. I respect Karl Malone profoundly.
Okay, but that's a bad example. Okay, I'm not done. Okay, well, I'll give you a better example.
Please, do you know that Steph Curry
has a career, his field goal percentage is higher, his two-point field goal percentage is higher than Akeem Olajuwon for his career. Did you know that? Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I'm not surprised.
Why is you not surprised? Stephen A., listen, for a point guard or slash combo guard to have a higher percentage than a power forward in the center is beyond crazy. Like, we're talking about guys who get paint touches on the regular. We're talking about guys who are dunking the basketball in the paint. Right here, little 5 or 6 footers. And they're 7 feet tall. We're talking about a guy that is 6'2 at the point guard position who has a higher field goal percentage. So with that being said, he's already above Kevin Durant.
Let me respond to that because, first of all, let me say I'm being dead serious here. Let me say this. I appreciate that knowledge that you just dropped. I truly, truly do. I'm not throwing no shade on what you're saying. None. Zero. But let me give you a different perspective since we just talking basketball here. We're going to expand this beyond the debate and make this somewhat of an inquisition per se. You brought up all of that stuff. Now, you brought up Karl Malone. I think about Karl Malone picking and popping. I think about him in the open court being fed for a fast break, and he's scoring on dunks. I've always been a guy, not just Tim Duncan, but I've looked at Kevin McHale, for example, as a better power forward to me than Karl Malone. I'm talking about the quintessential power forward because Kevin McHale, 15 feet and in, was just 10 feet and in, rather, was just unstoppable. Whereas I looked at Karl Malone, elbow jump shots, finishing in the open court. Those elbows were obviously very powerful. Just ask Isaiah Thomas with all them stitches he put on his face. We get all of that. But I still don't look at Karl Malone the way a lot of people look at him, even though he was a great, great player, Hall of Fame, and a great scorer. When you talk about Akeem Olajuwon, we know how great he was as a center. But in the same breath, when you're playing with your back to the basket, as phenomenal as he was, and we know that he's one of the creme de la creme, the elite there is, we get all of that. The flip side to it is that you've got big bodies opposing you and stuff like that. So even though he was dominant with his greatness, it's a little bit different. Here's the deceptive part about Steph Curry, and it's a tribute to what you're saying. Steph Curry was such an elite, is such an elite shooter that you're petrified all the time, wherever the hell he's at. So a lot of times he's getting free layups because you're so petrified you're jumping out to contest his jump shots. You see what I'm saying? That a lot of times he's got open lanes to the basket. We got to pay attention to that because you fear his marksmanship from deep. Now, when you talk about Kevin Durant, let's take this into consideration. And again, no shade on the greatness of Steph Curry because it's there. But when you have a Klay Thompson that is out and the team is not what it was, we saw that they struggled to some degree and Steph Curry struggled because he's undersized. Kevin Durant may have needed to go to Golden State to win championships, and I get that. But what Kevin Durant gives you, he consistently gives you. What we've lamented about Kevin Durant is the lack of assertiveness. The fact that he should shoot the ball a lot more. That he shouldn't be as deferential and as trusting as some of his other teammates. You were a teammate with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City. You know what this brother brings to the table, and you know it's reliable. Perfect example was this season. They were the number one with James Harden hobbled and wanting out and Kyrie Irving exiled because of the New York City mandate. Kevin Durant had the Brooklyn Nets as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. He gets injured, they fall to 10. This brother at 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan with a three-point shot, a mid-range game, open court game, free throw game, plus the ability to defend at 6'11 with what he can do as an individual talent. For me, I can put Steph ahead of him because of his resume. I can do all of that. And leadership, I get all of that. And not being and not tolerating nonsense and supporting that. I got all of that. But as an individual talent, I cannot, even with the greatness of Steph Curry, I cannot put him above Kevin Durant because I think Kevin Durant is that great.
Stephen A., listen, here's the thing that I think you're missing. When I look at Steph Curry and I threw out all those numbers about Karl Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, and things to that nature, I'm saying that they are centers. And I think we take for granted that Steph Curry is 6'2", pushing 6'3", a guy that doesn't play above the rim, a guy that is finishing around the basket at a beyond elite level. And so when I look at that type of thing, because all of those layups that he's driving to the basket, some of those layups are contested. And a lot of times, Steph Curry is going against defenders that have about 3 or 4 inches on him because the point guards are not guarding him. Sometimes people try to put long athletic wings on him to try to bottle him up and make him do things to that nature. So let's not act like he doesn't have to prove to get his shot off against bigger or taller people. That's the next thing. Second of all, I'm going to repeat this point to you, and I want you to think about this for a second. Steph Curry changed the game of basketball forever.
There's nothing to think about. You're right about that.
Okay, cool. So we shouldn't be having this conversation. The fact that he changed the game forever. No, the fact that he changed the game forever. The fact that he made shots that would put people on the end of the bench if they was taking those shots before he arrived. That's enough in itself.
Well, you're missing
something.
You're missing something. Yes, he did. His talent allowed it. And Steve Kerr, God bless him, allowed it. And Mark Jackson before him. But keep in mind, as much as we might hate to admit it, we got to give a guy like Mike D'Antoni credit for that. Because what Phoenix was What Phoenix was in terms of their up-tempo and a willingness. You know what they say about Mike D'Antoni. Shoot a three or a layup. He don't want anything mid-range. Shoot a three or shoot a layup and keep up the pace. What I'm saying that facilitated the arrival of somebody like a Steph Curry. We can't ignore that. Now, Steph Curry's a marksman extraordinaire, and we get all of that. And he did change the game, just like Wilt Chamberlain changed the game or whatever. But you use Hakeem Olajuwon and Karl Malone as an example. Allow me to use Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain changed the game. We don't say he's better than Kareem or Bill he's more valuable than Bill Russell.
Who don't say that? They have people that make that argument. You probably don't say it, but a lot of people still.
A lot of people. Listen. As great as Wilt Chamberlain is, we talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell far more than we talk about Wilt Chamberlain. That's a fact, KP. Come on now.
And who fault is that? Who fault is that? That's because a lot of us didn't get a chance to see Wilt. They don't have tape on Wilt. They have tape on Bill Russell.
How they have tape on Bill Russell but not tape on Wilt? How'd that happen?
I'm just saying, not like, show me the 100-point game. Show the 100-point game. Show me the 100-point game.
Okay. You know what?
Okay. All right.
Stephen A., I do give you a lot of credit, though, making this argument when the timing, when Brooklyn just got swept in the first round and Steph's back in the finals again. You know?
We're talking individual
that's
talent.
Right,
no, I know, absolutely. You said resume, and you said it's not right. About resume, about the talent. And I'm just saying, you're making the argument, but it's challenging based on the circumstances.
Steph Curry wasn't in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yep.
That didn't happen to KD team when KD was healthy. It's true. Did I say something factually false?
How about something that's actual facts that Steph Curry is six in the last 8 years? He has went to six finals.
I agree. How about those which is why he's one of the all-time greats.
Forget making it to the playoffs.
Didn't Kevin Durant have something to do with three of that? If Kevin Durant were healthy, would they have beaten Toronto? Yes, they would have. But he wasn't healthy, and they couldn't beat Toronto.
By the way, I did see Kevin Durant in that David Letterman interview. Very interesting. I highly suggest people check that out. As for Steph Curry, he's going to have his hands full because when Marcus Smart is his primary defender, he shoots 29% from the floor in his career. We will leave it there, gentlemen.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.